Hello and welcome to this podcast from the Business Marketing Club, or BMC. I'm Dave Stevens, I'm a business marketer and I'm chair and co-founder of the BMC. The Business Marketing Club is a not-for-profit community network of business marketing professionals and people interested in business marketing. It's run by business marketers for business marketers, and we provide face-to-face and virtual event meetups, training, podcasts, blogs, newsletters, mentoring, social media groups, community groups, and gatherings for business marketers. Today, we have almost 5,000 participants across the world. If this, though, is the first time you've joined us, you're very welcome. Check us out at businessmarketingclub.org.uk for more. If you've been with us before, though, welcome back. It's good to have you along again. When a company's sales and marketing messages, and let's face it, therefore their priorities, aren't aligned across the business, people pull in different directions. And this lack of synchronization impacts on performance. So says an article that has been put together by Applied Influence and by Magnus Consulting. It's called Aligning Sales and Marketing for Peak Performance, and it looks at ways that you can use influence through collaboration and co-creation to bring sales and marketing teams together to align messaging and activities so that everyone is working to achieve shared goals. I'm joined today by the authors of that report, by Emma Dutton and by Teresa Allen. Emma, Teresa, welcome to our podcast.
Thanks for having us, Dave.
Thanks, Dave.
It's good to see you. So let's kind of just kick in with a little bit of an introduction. So Teresa, Emma, why don't you tell us a bit more about who you are and what you do? And maybe Teresa, do you want to go first?
Sure. So I'm Teresa, founder of Magnus Consulting. We are a marketing effectiveness consultancy. Everything we do is about driving sustainable growth through the power of marketing. We look across the entire marketing function, from structures to teams to brands and planning, bringing the outside in, customer first view to reach peak performance.
Grand. And it's good to see you. And Emma, who on earth are you?
It's a good question. I keep asking myself the same question, Dave. So I run the Applied Influence Group. We're a very specialist consultancy, and our proposition is focused on the human-to-human relationships in complex sales. So we help usually big technology businesses, professional services businesses, optimize those human-to-human connections so they can accelerate their sales results. And we do this with a method called influence campaigns. So it's not a sales methodology, it's an influence methodology applied to B2B sales. And the origins of this influence campaign stuff comes from military intelligence. So myself and my co-founders had a background in essentially doing the same thing that we now help our clients to do, but on the battle spaces of Afghanistan and some other places, where our job was to influence stakeholders and collect information, which was often life-saving, but not always, and do that in a very, as you can imagine, complex and dynamic environment, and often talking to some really quite recalcitrant individuals who did not want to talk to us and build relationships with us. So what myself and my business partner have done is codified those experiences that we developed over a good sort of 9 or 10 years of operational experience in Afghanistan, and have made them relevant for B2B sales. And whilst
it sounds very, very, both very dramatic and also a bit scary. It's kind of one of those things where I worry that if I ask too many of the wrong questions, you'll kind of tell me that you can tell me, but you'll have to end my podcast there and then. So I'm going to focus our questioning, if I can, around the article that you've written together, Aligning Sales and Marketing for Peak Performance. I'm going to start off with a question that has the risk of immediately shutting the entire conversation down. But hey, here goes. So Teresa, in B2B businesses, are sales and marketing generally aligned?
I'm going to focus in on the word generally because I don't want to offend anybody. But I think the reason that we wrote this article is because genuinely we believe the answer is no, and it's not just us that have this view. A recent study from LinkedIn with Forrester Consulting said 90% of sales and marketing professionals agree with this. They say they're misaligned across strategy, process, content, and culture.
Okay, well, that's a relief. We can still keep talking then. So I guess the next logical part to ask is okay, well, is there any benefit to their being aligned?
Yeah, I mean, everything that Emma and I do, and this is why we've come together as both marketing and sales effectiveness consultancies, is around increasing the experience of the customer to ultimately create value to the organization. And if you just look at it at the very basic level from the customer's view, if marketing and sales aren't aligned, then they're going to get very mixed messages. And that ultimately has an impact in terms of their understanding at a brand level, an awareness level, understanding, which is crucial for closing deals and creating value. And I think the other thing is pulling in different directions as two different teams, having different KPIs and different goals that can become hugely problematic. So for example, if marketing are measured on the quantity of leads, and obviously sales are on the quality, so they can convert it to sales, there's going to be a disconnect there. And we see this time in and time out, you know, with the clients that we work with.
And so that's kind of what happens if the two aren't aligned. Are there any kind of benefits that you would flag to their being aligned? What's the upside?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, kind of going back to some stats, our kind of favorite place, but I think, you know, misalignment can cost organizations an average of 10% of its revenue per year, a Cognizant study showed. And I think, you know, if you reverse that, by successfully aligning sales and marketing, you can apparently generate 32% higher revenue, which, you know, the speaks for itself when you're looking at business performance.
Cool. Emma.
Yeah, and we tend to see this, the sort of downstream effects of this, really sort of the lower end of the funnel from the sales perspective. So what's really common from the sales teams and the deal teams, account teams that we work with, is a lack of visibility from them and almost a feeling of sometimes being a bit blindsided. So they might be interacting with a customer stakeholder, and that customer stakeholder has become aware of a strategic message or a strategic bit of content or something put out by our client's business, and that salesperson hasn't been aware of it. And that's remarkably common, actually. So lack of visibility is a big downstream effect of that, and a lack of consistency as well. So where a salesperson who's got a good intuition, good instincts about the messaging that a particular stakeholder needs to hear, can then sometimes be in contrast with the marketing generic messages that they will then see, whether it's ABM content or otherwise, and that can then be problematic and cause a bit of resistance for the salesperson. So that's the type of thing we tend to see working more closely on the sort of front lines with the sales teams.
So it sounds like that sales and marketing alignment isn't really happening to quite the extent that we would like, but hey, that generally it would be a good thing if sales and marketing were better aligned. And in your article, you talk about the three ways that you can use influence to pull teams together so that they are working to achieve shared goals. And one of the kind of big planks you talk about is collaboration, which is kind of one of those words that is bandied about in every management meeting I think I've been to. But I don't think we never really kind of focus in on actually, well, what does collaboration actually look like, and how does it achieve better sales and marketing alignment? Emma, I wonder if you can help me with that.
Yeah, sure. So I think the first thing that's really important, which sounds really obvious, but is often not done or done very well, is having common goal and common purpose and common measures of success. So Teresa's point earlier around the KPIs and where KPIs might be pulling in different directions. So marketing measured one way, sales measured another, that don't necessarily align, that will always be problematic. So having that common purpose and common language around what success looks like is really key. information sharing, really, really key. And again, sounds really obvious. One of the things that we observe is, and that's really common, is that there's not often much pull from marketing teams, from the salespeople who are on the front lines and who are hearing the feedback and the just how messages are landing. And it's not just the salespeople on the front lines either. It's the delivery people. It's the customer success people. So any human that's interacting with another human in the customer is a really important source of information. So pulling that up in a deliberate way, maybe having a bit of a cadence around that, and then pushing out information in a deliberate and frequent, you know, manner as well is also really important. So that information sharing and really capitalizing on the human interfaces that you've got with the customer.
Okay.
Can I jump in there? And I think what we see a lot is obviously technology has come into play. And if we look at the likes of Salesforce, which is supposed to do an element of this job and create those closed loops back, so, you know, marketing, sales, customer service can all look at what's going on. I think the challenges that we see is that it's looking back on things that have already happened. And often by the time you've gone into there, and we know that it's not necessarily always updated in real time, it's very reactive instead of proactive. And actually just going back to very old fashioned, having conversations, having, you know, those regular discussions, whether they're face-to-face or virtual, but making room for them as opposed to using or over-reliance on tech, which I think comes with many limitations of not necessarily being up to date and actually people having to go in and mine it without any context.
Okay, so that's collaboration. That's one of the pillars that you talk about. You also talk, though, about co-creation as another way of using influence to bring sales and marketing teams together. Emma, what's that all about then?
Well, to me, that is putting all of the above into practice and actually working out a solution together. And one of the things that's really important here is the concept of unity, which I'm sure, given who your audience is, Dave, most people will be familiar with Mr. Cialdini and his principles. And the seventh one, unity, is particularly relevant here. So again, that's why that common purpose and shared purpose is really important, because that gives us a bit of a shared identity. And without that, we again we'll not have that shared sense of us, and we'll move in different directions. So to co-create a solution, we need to have that shared sense of identity. We need to be putting things into practice. We need to be, I think, leveraging the power of reciprocity. So if we're wanting something back from our co-creators, then we need to be giving an offering as well. And often where things are unexpected, and where something is of value to someone else, that's a way to accelerate that co-creation cycle, is to give something of value that's unexpected.
Teresa.
Yeah, I suppose to follow up on that point of reciprocity, oh, I said it right. That's a win.
To listeners, that was take 56.
I was not. I think that's a really interesting point. When you talk to the sales teams and when you talk to the marketing teams, there's very much a sense of them and us. Mm-hmm. And when you ask kind of, you know, the simplistic questions of, well, you know, why don't we go and speak to each other? We're too busy. The leads aren't good enough, or why are you getting in the way of my sales deal, and just let me get on with my job. And I think that taking that step back to understand, you know, as Emma said, that shared goal, but working together as a team, and actually understanding that the insights that can be taken from any one of those teams is actually going to help the other teams do their jobs better. There's real work that needs to be done there in working as one, and actually kind of, you know, having that sense of pulling together in the same direction.
And you actually kind of you spell out in more detail, don't you, the three steps to co-creation. Is it worth maybe just spending a little bit of time in more detail on each of those three steps? So, you know, the first one is that understanding one. So can you tell me a bit more about that?
Yeah, so I think it just comes down to understanding how each other's success is measured and acknowledging that it will be different to your own. I think there's something really important here as well about, as, alongside the business KPIs, whatever measures of success there might be for the business and for the role, there's also the humans measures of success and the humans why. So different, all salespeople, all marketing, all of us, we're all motivated by different things. And we use a model called the 16 basic desires to help us understand human intrinsic motivations. And each of us are motivated by these 16. They're things like power, status, independence, down to sort of more basic things like family and romance. So we're all motivated by all of them, but in each of us, we are particularly strong in a few, three or four. I'm particularly strong in independence, for example. I now run my own business. No surprises there. So if you can have an understanding of a person's individual motivation alongside how they're measured in a role, that's just going to enable you to be able to frame things to the way that they see the world and those intrinsic motivations. And the reason that's so important is, you know, there's no better way to, no more effective way to change human behavior than through the reward system. And that's all we're doing is we're offering something up that speaks to that person's intrinsic motivations. So understanding the why is that first point.
Cool. And are there kind of specific techniques or skills that people can use to get, understand the why?
Yeah, sure. So one of the things we learned to do in Afghanistan, talking to the folks that we were talking to, was some questioning strategies and active listening skills. So there's a type of question called a narrative question, which is particularly useful at just sort of drawing out a narrative-based response that is quite rich in information. And these are the TEDS questions: tell, explain, describe, and show. And what you tend to get when you ask that question versus why is this the case or what do you think about that, you just get something that's broader, is richer in information, and it tends to tell you a bit more about what's on the top of that person's mind, because they could go anywhere with that question, and usually the thing that's most important to them at the time is what comes out. Yeah. So tell me, explain to me, etc. is effective.
Cool. So that's sort of kind of step one in co-creation, that understanding of the why. And then step two, well, it's kind of more about an assertive approach to information pull and push, but you can probably put it in a much more articulate and comprehensible way than that. So over to you.
I'll do my best. So one of the things the military is really good at is information sharing and this pull and push concept. And you know, there's lots of good reasons for that. The consequences of information not being shared can be life and death, right? So it has to be something that works. And the way that can play out and the way that you can do this better in business, whether it's sales and marketing alignment or otherwise, is just having a discipline and a regular cadence around a point of information sharing, a focal point, not dismissing more junior people who often have some really good quality information, who are often connected to people who are not obviously important to a particular deal or situation, but actually have that missing jigsaw piece of the puzzle in their heads. So not dismissing those and bringing those people and asking them those TED questions to try and surface those nuggets that are locked in their head and they might not even understand are relevant themselves. So involving the right people and the right people are not always obvious. And then empowering people to go off and ask these questions of their people. So having, if you can identify where your knowledge gaps are, so if you can identify whether it's about particular features or functions, or whether it's about just a more emotive response to something, or how a particular bit of content is going down. If everyone has, you know, what are the top 3, 4, 5 questions, areas of knowledge that we're missing at the moment? And that's the thing we're focusing on over the next couple of weeks. We want everyone to go out to their touch points that they're interacting with and come back and have a cadence around that is a really useful and effective way to get pace on our understanding of the customer and what's working, what's not.
Because then the final step, as I understand it, is I guess building on that, so accelerating the process. and building an information sharing team culture. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, so look, one thing you can do is you can buddy up someone in a marketing team with someone in a particular account team or portfolio or vertical or whatever it might be. And if you can have some deliberate lines of communication there, you can shortcut a lot of that information sharing and have really clear lines of accountability. So everyone, you're sort of sharing those 3, 4, 5 big questions, big knowledge gaps you've got around the group. So encouraging and empowering that buddy sort of system is often effective. And the more you do it, again, this sense of reciprocity just quite naturally accelerates things. So if you can very deliberately offer something of value and offer something that couldn't otherwise be obtained without you, which we can all do, and sales and marketing people can all do that with each other, that will accelerate things as well.
Cool. Teresa?
Yeah, I mean, just to jump in there, one of the things we have been discussing with some clients recently is obviously the challenge that comes with working in a hybrid or remote way. It creates more of a distance, not only within kind of specific functions and teams, but actually then across different teams makes it harder because, you know, unless you actively have a need to go out and have a meeting with somebody in a different team when you're working at home, it's very unlikely you're going to cross paths. So I think going back to Emma's point about empowering it, I think it's really important that comes from top down, from leadership, to actually say, you know, this is something that we encourage, and actually help them activate that, whether that's through kind of, you know, certain times of the day where you actually kind of then meet or get buddied up with different people to kind of have those open conversations, those water cooler moments that you don't have when you're necessarily in the office, is really important. Because I think with working in a much more virtual way, your circle of regular kind of conversations very much is limited to most people in your team.
You've just triggered a thought, Teresa. I think there's something here about not assuming the relevance of what you've said or a bit of information or feedback you provided is understood by anyone else in the team or on the other side of the sales marketing divide. So in some of the influence analysis work we do, we're quite disciplined around how we look at significance and relevance. So explaining what the relevance of a bit of feedback means to you, to everyone else, is an easy way to sort of shortcut information blockages or information just being left on the table that is actually really useful. And you understand why that's important, but it don't ever assume everyone else does. So explaining that, and I think it's also important to recognize that this is, again, a bit of a generalization, but salespeople tend to be really intuitive. They tend to rely on their instincts and their experiences in how they interact with people and how they make decisions and how they share information. And from my experience, I know marketeers less well, but marketeers tend to be more data driven, often intuitive, but tend to rely more on the substance of the evidence. So they're speaking different languages often. So I think recognizing that and being able to adapt your approach a bit to the other way of thinking is also important.
I think that's right. And I think actually, if you look at, you know, the role of marketing and when they are creating content that's going out there, how often are the sales teams involved in that process until the very end, where they might be involved in the sign-off, but actually in terms of how they want to use it, or just even kind of, you know, tone of voice, or giving them nuggets to then take out and actually throw into conversations, I think it's really important. It's one thing creating, you know, a very in-depth large piece of content, but actually extracting it to fit the sales team styles is hugely important. Otherwise it's a complete waste of time and effort. But it should be a collaborative approach, and the feedback that comes back from that often doesn't get back up to the marketing teams to be able to, you know, continuously improve and optimize on kind of messaging and content strategy. It just doesn't happen.
Cool. So we've talked about co-creation, and before that we talked about collaboration, all as ways of using influence to pull teams together. The third and final way that you talk about using influence is by including other teams. So Well, which are the teams then?
Shall I go? So yeah, I mean, I think, again, if we go back to where we started and we put ourselves in the shoe of the customer, which is something, a place that both Emma and I would always start, it doesn't, the interaction doesn't finish with a sale. In fact, it very much starts there. So including the customer success team is hugely important. But I think if you then take it back up the other end, including product development, including, you know, those guys, there needs to be a conversation that connects the dots, because ultimately what you can learn down and really get that rich data from customer success when they're actually using the product or service, you know, are they happy, are they not happy, what are the challenges that that they're actually finding once they're actually engaged, is actually vital too in terms of product iterations and product development, but also then through into messaging for marketing. So what is it attracted them in the first place? Is it actually meeting expectations? And also kind of then feeding that back through to sales. So really what we would do is say, you know, kind of almost forget about the internal pipeline, turn it externally to look at the customer journey. And it should be hugely connected along every point and get everyone who works on that, which is pretty much the entire organization, talking.
And one way to do that in practice and sort of make it easy for yourself is to build a habit and a culture around handing over, and I don't just mean handing over the account plan salesperson to salesperson or salesperson to customer success person as it moves down the value chain, but handing over what we understand about the humans and not just at a persona level, but at a specific individual stakeholder level where it might be relevant as well. You get an awful lot of trust and credibility leakage comes from just from not doing that in a disciplined way. And that's probably a quick win I think any business can do, is just build that culture around handing over our knowledge and understanding of the humans.
So that's good, because that actually kind of leads me into, you know, we've heard a lot of really good kind of theoretical suggestions as to what we could do. Let's give people something practical to take away. So right now, give me one thing that listeners could do to improve sales marketing alignment, and your time starts now.
I would get a buddy system going, to Emma's point. I would get every marketing person going and sitting or having calls with, if they're virtual, with the sales team, the customer service team and the product team. And I would connect them all together and say, you know, share with me the insights that you've got, what's going on, and actually how does this fit into the plans coming down the line in for each of those teams.
Emma?
Can I have three, Dave? Is that okay?
Go on then.
I'll hang it short. So first off, I don't think that there would be a meaningful change to this unless the leadership, the people who are ultimately accountable for revenue, whether it's split into sales and marketing or otherwise, whether they buy into this as well and they share and align corporate goals, you know, KPIs, however, whatever the metrics are, at the most strategic level possible. So unless that changes and cascades down, it's difficult for people on the ground to really do things differently. I think that's just a fact of hierarchies and accountability. Secondly, I think the discipline point is really important. So salespeople are the least disciplined people in the world. I think we all recognise that. Marketers tend to be more disciplined from my experiences. So what can you do to establish that cadence, a discipline cadence that's shared, to really push and pull that information sharing and bring in the people that voices normally don't get heard, but have some really important information about what's going on with the customer. And then third, have a sort of, can you build a matrix of who's interacting with who and use that to guide, you know, where the information push and pull goes to.
Okay. So Teresa, how is it that Magnus Consulting can help with that sales marketing alignment?
Everything we do is about increasing the effectiveness of marketing to drive sustainable growth in an organization. And ultimately, you know, marketing and sales are so intrinsically linked that when we go in and do a gap analysis. It includes, you know, all the way through to sales. So really understanding, is there a misalignment between sales and marketing, KPIs, looking at people, skills, process, and how we can ultimately close those gaps through restructuring, through process optimization, and through reskilling.
Cool. And then, Emma, tell us about where applied influence specifically fits in on the alignment story.
Yeah, so the influence campaign method essentially is about getting the right messages, the right persuasive messages to the right stakeholders at the right time in the right sequence by the best placed person, and with the right resources, which is, that's, I think, where the alignment to marketing comes in. And if you can align particularly ABM function, if you can align the analysis and the research from the ABM function and integrate the outputs of that into an influence campaign, you've got a much more detailed sense of what content is going to which humans. So the influence campaign manages the human-to-human bit, but it also allows you to deal with those other channels as well and be much more precise about what tailored messaging is getting to which stakeholders, rather than it being generic ABM content that might be targeted to personas or one to few.
Grand. And the specific article we've been talking about, I think you can find it, Teresa, on the Magnus Consulting website.
You can, indeed. I will send you a link that...
we'll put a link in the show notes, but I guess if people want to find out more, they can go to either magnusconsulting.co.uk or to appliedinfluencegroup.com, right?
That's right, yeah.
It's been brilliant talking to you. Thanks very much for your time.
Thanks for your questions.
And that's all for this episode of the Business Marketing Club podcast. Thanks to my guests, Teresa Allen and Emma Dutton. And thanks to our technical person, Alicia Gratian. Thanks to you for listening. Do rate or review us if you can. And email me at davestevensnow@gmail.com if you'd like to be a speaker or offer feedback. There's more where this came from. Just go to businessmarketingclub.org.uk.